Those of you that are watching online, thank you so much for watching with us. We pray that you get your Bible out and get something to write with, and maybe you got a pen or a pencil, and we're going to study the Word. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to talk about faith for wisdom, and this is a series we're doing on the wisdom of God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, we're going to read the King James Version, and we're going to go to other versions of Scripture, and look at the things of God here that pertain to wisdom. And are you ready?
Yes.
Praise God. Hear ye children, the instructions of a father. This is the King James Version. And attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved the sight of my mother. In other words, he said, I was the only child. How many people are the only child in your family? The only child, he said at that time, I guess. And he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. See, wisdom, it says in verse 5, to get wisdom. God is encouraging us to get this wisdom and get understanding, or get a judgment, good sound judgment, good discretion. And that's what it means, get understanding, is, you know, talking about getting discretion, getting sound judgment, good judgment in your life. And he says it will preserve you and shall keep you. And having wisdom will help you in life, will protect you from a lot of trouble. And in verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. It's the main thing in life. Wisdom has to do with God's word. Get wisdom. It's the principal thing. It's the main thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Get sound judgment. Get discretion in your life. We need sound judgment. How many people need sound judgment this morning for something? You need good judgment. You need to have good discretion. Exalt her and she shall promote thee. You know, you need to put the wisdom of God as the main thing in every area of your life. Exalt her. Make it first place. Make sure you have, when you're making decisions, you make sure, is this God's word? Is this God? What do you want me to do this? If I make this thing I'm doing here, it's going to hurt people. How many people will it hurt? And so, she shall bring to thee honor. Thee to honor. When thou hast embraced her, she shall give thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver thee. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Notice it said that when you have this good judgment, making great decisions, you can live longer. How many people understand, you know, if you need to, when you're eating food, you have to learn what to eat. And when to eat. People say, I don't know why I'm gaining so much weight. They're eating all night long, all evening. And they seem to erase the memory that they said, I didn't eat all day. But they forgot, I ate all night. So he says in here, where am I here? Embrace her, exalt her, promote thee. She'll give head an ornament to thy grace, crown of glory. She shall deliver to thee. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings. Years of life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the path, right paths. Wisdom is being on the right path. Being on the right path, doing the right thing at the right time with the right people. When you go, when thou goest, your steps shall not be straitened or hampered. And when you run it, you shall not stumble. You shall not fall. You know, because people are making decisions without the word of God. They're making decisions without consideration of God's thoughts on what they're doing. So we all need wisdom. This idea this morning, this few minutes we have together, we want to talk about this idea this morning. And that is, you need wisdom dealing with life, all life situations, and you need wisdom to deal with all kinds of people. There are some ways you have to encourage yourself to understand that everybody's not the same. You know, you might deal with somebody one way, it doesn't mean you have to deal with them all the same way, because people are crafted differently. Their personalities are different. I noticed that working in the church for many years, that some people like to work with people. Some people don't like to work with people. They'd rather work with stuff and things. Some people like to work with money and numbers and stuff like that, and they don't like to work with people. Some people like to work with practical things. They don't have anything to do with people and publicly. They don't want to greet people. They have a different kind of a personality. Sometimes you have to do what you have to do, even if you're that's not your thing. You just have to do it because nobody's there to do it until somebody comes along. And so you might not be able to do everything the same way with every person. A friend of mine I've talked to, he'd been working in the hospital for a number of years. He's been a counselor in mental health for a number of years. Yesterday we kind of got together. We had lunch together. He bought me lunch. We walked for a long time, and we talked about different things. And he talked about his failed marriage, what happened in his failed marriage. And he's a counselor for 40 years. Him and his wife were just butting heads, and they had these understanding. And he said, you know what, one thing about my wife, she misdiagnosed or misassessed herself in terms of what kind of personality she was and what kind of personality I was. And we didn't understand each other, and we clashed for years. We had children. Our children are growing up. How many people know that sometimes when wives and husbands have children, they break up because they don't have any relationship together? The only relationship they have is having children. And, that's why we always say, you come first. Your husband, your wife comes first before the children. If you put your kids first, the children are gone, and you're there, next thing you're gone, or somebody else is gone. Hallelujah. We have to have wisdom. Amen. Praise God. And I think our dogs are coming between us, honey. Somebody's got to go. Praise God. So we bought the dog. It cost a lot of money to get that dog. It caused a lot of trouble. And all of a sudden, he's sleeping in my place. And he won't listen to me, but only her. So anyway, I had a talk with him. And he don't listen to me. But anyway, here's a good definition today of what wisdom is. Wisdom is the ability to live wisely. Wisdom is the ability to live wisely, or wise living. Wisdom is the ability to take the Word of God and apply it appropriately and effectively to every situation you have. I mean, you can have knowledge. Knowledge is not wisdom. Wisdom is the actually ability to have knowledge and apply it properly. You can have knowledge. There's lots of people going to university have lots of knowledge, but they don't have wisdom dealing with situations about how God would do things. And I heard people talk about the educated fool. You could go to school. You don't get wisdom because you go to university and have degrees. You can have a lot of skills and stuff like that. You don't get wisdom because you're old. There's lots of older people that don't have any wisdom. And thank God that we can get wisdom. Amen. This is because don't feel bad if you never went to school. You can have wisdom. Amen. Don't feel bad because you're not old yet and gray like Flo. Flo's got beautiful hair. Don't you like Flo's hair? I told Flo, man, you got beautiful hair. Wouldn't look good on me, but it looks good on her. Okay? And it would look good on some people. I mean, nice voice, set of hair would look good on Jerry Goulet. He's got big shaggy hair like Mick Jagger. I don't know how Mick Jagger lives. The guy is 75, 78 years old. He looked like he's dead. He's playing guitar, smoking cigarette, jumping around. Moves Like Jagger. You ever heard that song called Moves Like Jagger? How many ever heard that song, Moves Like Jagger? There's a song, I think, a few years back called Moves Like Jagger. One of my favorite songs, Top 40. Okay, wisdom is the ability to live wisely. It's knowing what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. Whatever it is. Knowing when to do, how to do it, you know, you got to have that kind of sound judgment, discernment. It's having sound judgment or discernment. It's having foreknowledge, the ability to have foreknowledge. It's also having, in other words, having foresight to understand, you know, if I make these decisions, these are the consequences, these are the things that will happen over your life. It's always, wisdom is always having to do with your future. Has always something to do with something's going to happen in the future. If I make this plan, and these are the things that can happen. And here's one dictionary about the word wisdom. It says that wisdom is the quality or state of being wise, knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action. We said this on Wednesday, sagacity. How do you say it? Sagacity. I said it sounded like a neighbor back home. Discernment and insight. Yeah. You know what a sagacity is? Well, sounds like somebody I knew. So, anyway, what's wisdom? One thing about it, you have to understand what wisdom is not. If you look at the wisdom, you'll find that wisdom, you know, if you look at, you know, looking at contrast of words, one of the things about wisdom is the opposite. Is being a, like we used to say when we were kids, you're a moron. The word moron is the opposite of being a fool. So not being wise is a fool. So if you don't have wisdom, you're a fool. The Bible says that. If you don't use wisdom, you're a fool. And the word fool actually means a moron. And it means somebody who is dull, dull of understanding, or dull person, or heedless, or someone who is very simple. They don't have any kind of foresight. People who are fools or people who are morons don't know anything or unaware. They're always surprised that something's going on. They're just always surprised that something's happening. They're supposed to actually know something's going to happen when they do certain things. Certain actions follow, or certain things follow certain actions. Wisdom means being a person of skill. So when you talk about wisdom, it's actually associated with skill. If you look at the Amplified Bible, you see that in the word, and they're associated with wisdom. So somebody who's wise is very skillful in his knowledge, in his ways. A wise person is skillful in interacting with people and dealing with situations and learning how to handle private things, learning how to handle things in a way that is with great sound judgment and discretion. You can't just use information and just kind of scatter it about, hoping somebody will understand and get it. You have to use wisdom in a way that's not going to hurt people. So it means a person with skill, a person who loves to be skillful in their living, in their lifestyle. It's knowing when and how to do things in life, as we mentioned, and how to do it, when to do it, and so on. So many people have problems because they're self-inflicted, because they're unable to apply wisdom. They have problems with people in their workplace, in everyday life, because they don't know how to apply knowledge. They don't know when to talk, when not to talk, and what to share, what not to share, and when to make decisions. And so they have generally a lot of problems and conflicts in their relationships with people, in their house, in their home, with their wife and their children. So you can be wise. We can be wise because God tells us to. God is not unjust. He's not going to tell you to be something that you can't be. So Proverbs 4:5 says this, and King James Version says this: get wisdom, get understanding. forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Proverbs 4:5, the King James says. So get wisdom. God wants you to have discernment. He wants you to have sound judgment. He wants you to be able to have foresight and the ability to deal with things and people and your decisions in the right way. Notice here in the James chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8, excuse me. James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8, the King James Version says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Notice it says, if you don't have wisdom, let's ask God about it. Let's ask God for wisdom. Lift your hands up, say, God, Almighty, my Father, I'm asking you for wisdom to deal with all my affairs. In Jesus' name. So he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. Shall be given to you. God will give it to you. God's going to give you wisdom. Okay? But let him ask in what? So here we're talking about wisdom and wisdom and faith. So he said, let him ask in faith. So you have to believe when you ask God for wisdom for a certain situation, you're going to have to receive it right then and there that, thank God, I have wisdom because of asking you. I've asked you for it. You said you would do it, and I believe that I'm gonna act in wisdom. I'm gonna know what to do. I'm gonna know what to do, when to do it at the right time. Oh man, I'm telling you, I'm having fun with this because this last couple of years I've really had to learn how to have wisdom. And I see people doing things. They're putting stuff on their Facebook. They're telling all their trouble. Like, who's going to want to deal with you after putting all that junk on there? Who's going to hire you? Who's going to want to be around? If you say those things like that, the way you do about yourself on Facebook, who's going to have a relationship with you after that? Who's going to want to be around you to actually be your friend? Because if you have that much indiscretion of sharing your life on Facebook like you do, and doing the things that you do, how are they going to handle your privacy with them? Amen. Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. Do this. Say, hey, hey, hey. Come on. Hey, hey. Because, you know, you're not going to do that. You're not going to deal with people. Like, I watch people and I say, you know what? Oh, man, I'm not going to share anything with that person. I watch sometimes if I see pastors come in here, they do things, and if I go for lunch with them, I ain't moving my mouth about anything. I'm not telling them about anything. I'm telling you. You need to be able to be wise. And don't share everything you have, because they're going to, you know, share what you give to them, to other people, and they don't need to know about it. Come on now. Let them ask in faith. Nothing wavering. You can't just be in and out and say, oh, I might get it, might not get it. You know, I ask God for wisdom. I'm sure he's going to, you know, he heard me, but I don't know if he'll give it to me. You know? For he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He said, for let not that man think he shall receive anything. If you're wishy-washy, one day you're in, one day you're out, thank God I have faith. I'm getting, you know. So listen, just let me tell you something here. Having faith has nothing to do with how you feel. That's right. It's got nothing to do with how you feel. It has to do with everything about what the Word says about it. Amen. You don't have to feel anything to believe. When you're stepping out and doing something, you're just stepping on the Word of God. You're believing, you're trusting the Word of God. You're standing on the Word of God. You're relying on the Word of God and nothing else. You're not depending on how you feel or what everybody else feel, or what the experts say. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for counselors. Thank God for bankers. Thank God for people who know. But it doesn't depend on all that stuff. Thank God. Aren't you happy? Because thank God His Word is available. Amen. So, if you're double-minded, you're not going to get this wisdom. You're not going to get it. Let's go look over here to, since it's the beginning, this is called Back to Church. And I wonder where half the people are this morning. They're not back in church. People say, Pastor, I'm away on holidays. You mean you didn't know we're having Back to Church? You know? And let's see if I help you next time. Eh? Okay, that's something else. Okay, listen to this. And in those days, Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of disciples will multiply, in other words, the church was growing, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. How many people know, just because you got church growth doesn't mean you don't have problems. You're going to have problems. You know, different things happen. Because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report. Say, honest report. What does it mean, honest report, any man? It means to have a good reputation. God wants people in the church to have a good reputation inside and outside the church. Are you there? God wants us to have a good relationship. You know, you want to have discretion if you're a Christian, a leader. You want to have discretion and discernment, good sound judgment. You want to have that in the community, especially dealing with people. They say, "Oh, you're one of those Faith City people, man. I wouldn't want to be in your church because if they got people like you, I don't want to go there." Some people they tell me, sometimes when people are mad at me and they want to accuse me of stuff, they say, what kind of? Is your Bible doing this, or are you teaching this to your people? Well, we teach the Bible as best we can. If somebody doesn't understand it, well, another thing. So anyway, he says, look ye among you, seven men of honest report, or good, people with good reputation, full of the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, full of the Holy Ghost. Because if you're full, the Bible wants us to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, not all dried up and you're grumpy and you're always stressed out. Come on now. We need the Holy Ghost to not be stressed out. You know, the Bible likens being filled with the Holy Spirit like being drunk on wine. The Bible says that's we want to be drunk with the Holy Ghost, not drunk on wine. We want to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we don't even feel what the devil's trying to put on us. Come on now. You don't want to, that stress is going to put on you. You don't want to even feel that. You know, when you're stressed out, when you're so uptight, you can't deal with people properly. Huh? But you need to be just loose and able to talk with people. You want your mind to just be real good there. You can flow up with the knowledge you have and the things of God. So you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Look out for people with the Holy Ghost. Can you notice if someone's filled with the Holy Ghost? Someone is bright, and they're very presentable, and they're very cordial. You know they're filled with the Spirit of God. And then it says, and wisdom. Look at wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. So God wants people with wisdom. And wisdom who He may appoint over this business. So we need wisdom in our business. We need wisdom in transactions with people. In situations and money things and dealing with our relationships and so on. So God wanted people, He wanted these qualities in people who will serve in the church. He wanted people with good reputation. He wanted people who were filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the wisdom of God. God wants these kinds of people inside the church working in the ministry. Can you have this? Yeah, you can have it. Look at Ephesians 5 and 15, the Amplified Version, the Amplified Classical Edition says this. Look carefully than how you walk. Should you watch the way you walk? Yes. Live purposely and worthily and accurately, not as unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. So God wants us to have wisdom. God wants us to have intelligence in dealing with our affairs in life. So let's look at Romans 12 and 16, Amplified. He says, live in harmony with one another. How many people know to have a good harmony? Good. Do not be haughty or snobbish or high-minded, exclusive, but readily adjust yourself to people and things, and give yourself to humble tasks. You know, you're never too big and too important to do small things. You know, I was trying to get a grandmother yesterday to this church. They said, they've been calling me since we had the funeral. Come on, you know, we'd like to come to church. I got little children. I want to bring these children to church. And so I was doing my best. I had so much to do yesterday, like my own personal things and working on some stuff. And all of a sudden I thought, you know, I should phone Pastor Ken. I said, no, maybe he's busy. I called Flo. By the time I found her, I actually made a trip to visit these people. And by the time I couldn't find that person and got home about 9 o'clock at night, and said, no, we got it right tomorrow. It's fine. We'll do that. So anyway, I said, I just need a ride back. So I said, well, we got you the tickets. We'll help you, and we'll figure out a way to get you to church. I'm doing my best to do it. And so yesterday we talked about buying a bus. There's been talk about that for years. We need like a bus to help people come to church. And I noticed some other people that last Wednesday said, you know, Pastor, we got a vehicle that will come to church. This guy came on his own scooter this morning, right? My friend, praise God, amen. He said he took me like seven minutes per hour. or whatever it is. It was pretty fast. I said, you're faster than me, man. So this is my friend of mine. I used to play hockey with this man. We started school way back in college. And I think it was the early 80s. Yeah, man. And I mean, thank God, you know, years ago. But I thank God we connected again. Praise God. Anyway, so we need to be wise. Or don't overestimate yourself. Never overestimate yourself. So we're you know, in dealing with everything, you know, people, we're not too good for doing small things. People say, well, I don't work with this, you know, in church they say, I don't work with these kinds of people. I'm, you know, no, sometimes we just need you to be nice to someone. You can just be, everybody can be nice. It's just to shake a hand and drive somebody. How much skill do you need to drive somebody home? You know, just sit there and feed them, give them some food, or take somebody. I don't know. I hope you guys are taking people home once in a while, your friends in this church, and take them home and eat supper at your house. Take them at your house. I take people at my house, and you guys take people regularly, just to be nice to people. I want to go to your house again. You got the best food. The best soup I've ever eaten in my whole life. Man, oh man, and Sarah. She can cook for 50 people in about 30 seconds. Sarah's like that, man. She can just cook. Come on over. And she has all this food all of a sudden. So we're going to come there this afternoon, Sarah. Colossians 4:5 in the New Living says, live wisely among those that are not believers. Make the most of every opportunity. Colossians 4:5. In other words, if you're a believer in Jesus and you're a Christian, be very conscientious of your behavior with people, the way you behave and talk and what you participate in. Because we want to influence people for the things of God. Don't be too carried away. Like Pastor Steve. Oh, he's gone. We didn't talk about him. Ephesians 5:15, New Living says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. Imagine that. God's telling Christians. Holy Spirit is talking through the Apostle Paul, talking to Christians. Don't be a fool. You know, some people have been fools. There's a scripture that says, oh, because of my foolishness, I have been afflicted. They got sick. Because they've been foolish the way they lived. Somebody was complaining the other day about having gastro something. They had gastro problems when they went to bed, but they're eating chicken all evening and expect to have, you know. Somebody said, drink some vinegar. Cider vinegar, okay. So I was drinking vinegar like crazy, wondering what's going to happen to my body. So it wasn't me, anyway. Hosea 4:14-9 says, let those who are wise and understand these things, let those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right. The righteous people live by walking in them. Those paths, sinners stumble and fall, but in those paths, sinners fall. So God is making available to us the ability to walk right in this world. Have discretion, have discernment. So we need to ask God for it. We need to ask God for wisdom. 2 Chronicles 1:10 says, give me now wisdom. This is Solomon, right? And knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this people that is so great? So you have to ask God for wisdom so that you can deal with people. Leaders need to pray for this. If you're a leader, anybody who does something here, please ask God for wisdom in dealing with one another. Just because we know each other doesn't mean we have to not be skillful handling each other. Sometimes we get lazy, right? We get so used to each other that we just, you know, hopefully we don't hurt each other, and yet we hurt each other because of what we do. We get too casual. So ask God for it, that you can have discernment with people. Over here in Colossians 2, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 11, God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, you have asked not for riches and wealth and honor, nor the life of your enemies, neither you have asked for long life, but you asked me wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over I have made you king over. So God says, you see, acting, getting wisdom comes to all these other benefits, as we saw in chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs. He's the writer of this. Chronicles is saying that, you know, because God says, if you ask for wisdom, I'm going to give you all these other things that come along with wisdom. So when we have wisdom, I mean, you're going to have some glory. You're going to be in a spotlight where people will say, hey, you're a wonderful person. We like the way you are. You know, and things will come to you. So where do we find wisdom? We say we can ask God for it. We know God has it. Wisdom is not found in anything else, nowhere in the world. It can't be gotten by any other means other than God himself. Job 28:12-13 says this. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is this place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of living. In other words, you can't find wisdom, you can't get wisdom with money, you can't get wisdom with anything else in the world. You can't get wisdom other than God himself. You can't earn it, you can't go to school for it. This kind of wisdom only can be found in God. If you read the rest of the verses, there he goes on to explain it. Verse 14, the depths that said, it is not in me. In the sea, he said, it's not in me. You can't get it there. Verse 16, it cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir and the precious onyx or the sapphire. You can't buy wisdom. You can't find it in the ground. You can't find it anywhere else. Wisdom is not found in things. Only in God. And if you read the rest of the scripture, go to verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. To depart from evil is understanding. How many people know to live a wicked life is not wise? To try to live a double life is not wise. To try to live like a Christian here and a wrong Christian, but live outside when you're dealing with your banker, you're dealing with the government, you don't live like a Christian, that's not wise. So we need to have wisdom in all our affairs. God is speaking with Job there. God is speaking to Job in Job 38, 36, because Job was talking about God and judging God as, you know, God is this, God is not doing this for me, God is not doing that for me. Who's God anyway? You know, I'm better than God says, this righteousness, I'm just as good. I'm good with my own righteousness. He was judging himself in his own eyes. And God says, who are you that you think you're so smart? And he says here, Job 38, 36, who had put wisdom in the inward parts and who had given him understanding to the heart? We see here, God talked to Job, but he also said that God is the only one that can put wisdom in your heart. God will give you wisdom in your heart right now, no matter what you're dealing with. I'm challenging every Christian in here to ask God for wisdom, that he'll give you wisdom for every situation that you're facing today. I'm so excited about it. And I can tell you some stories right now that really delighted me. And the Lord, I can see afterward how God was leading me. There were some things in my life I had to deal with people around me. And God just said, yeah, you go ahead and I tell you, just do this. And I begin to do it. And it doesn't make sense, you know. And all of a sudden, it started making sense. Because it told me that even though I had the right answer for somebody, it wasn't the right time to confront somebody. It wasn't the right time to use that information because that person wasn't ready yet. And if I was to enforce that right information at the wrong time for that person when they were not ready or situated in their heart, they would have rejected me and pushed them further away. And I wouldn't have had the opportunity to delight in the information that God has given me so that we can have progress. So I was able to not, share that information, and I can see it now. And the Lord started looking. I started seeing it that God said, listen. If you have discretion, you're going to go a long way. And so I was so happy to see that. Hey, God was leading me all along. I thought, I was trying to delay things in my heart. I was following my heart. I honestly got to tell you this. That with everything going on in my life, with ministry, whatever, I have my head to deal with, I always, in my heart, I said, I got to follow my heart. It doesn't make sense to me, but I got to follow my heart. And it's not easy following your heart. It's like driving your car with instruments. It's like driving a plane with instruments in the fog. It's right. You read the word, it's the right thing to do. But in your mind, it's not the right thing to do. And you're finding, you're coming through the fog, and you can see things clearly. Now, oh, I know God's leading me. And yesterday I had to confront somebody with something very important, a leader, and I talked to a person, and I confronted them without them even knowing. I mean, I had to say things to someone without really coming hard on them. I said, hey, you might not have known this, but listen, this is what I see happening, and you might not have known this, but this is what's happening. Please don't do that again. Oh, yeah, okay. We laughed about it and went on. So you don't always have to get on people. You can tell people some information in a nicer way. Amen? So wisdom is a gift from God. Wisdom is the grace of God working in your life. He puts it inside your heart. It's not a mental thing. You'll know what to do in your spirit. As it says in Job 38, 36, who had put wisdom in the inward parts? God puts that in there. He gives understanding. He gives discretion. He gives you the ability to have foresight. And God was arguing with Job there in 38, verse 3 to 7. Let's go to a couple more scriptures, and we're going to close this session with wisdom. Hallelujah. Psalm 51, 6 says, "Behold, thou desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." God will put wisdom in your heart. God will give you discretion. God will give you the ability to make decisions in your heart, the right time with the right people. He'll put it in your spirit. You put that wisdom in your spirit on the inside of you. 1 Kings 10:24, "And all the earth sought Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart." Amen. Let's close. That is a good place to close. Hallelujah. That's wisdom to close now. The anointing is starting to lift. It's starting to get stronger on the other side, on that side. Let's go ahead and stand up, people. Can we have wisdom today? Is it available now? Can you ask God for wisdom? Can you believe God for wisdom? Can you expect God for wisdom? Yes, let's go ahead and pray together. Everybody stand, please. Hallelujah. Let's all stand in the presence of Jesus, the presence of God Almighty. God is here in this house. Hallelujah. We're going to believe God for wisdom for every area of our lives. Hallelujah. I can feel the joy of the Lord in my spirit right now. Just joy in my heart. Because people are getting the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's a wise man right here. Where is he? That's the same reaction as Gideon. Hey, you man of valor. He looks behind. Who is he talking to? You're going to be like... What's that guy? Not Al Pacino. What's the other guy? He says, "You talking to me? You talking to me?" What's his name? What's my favorite actor? Montana? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, you wise people. Amen. You say, when people say, you know, there's wise people here at Faith City Church. Some of the wisest people I've ever met. Oh, they make sound judgment. They're good people. Remember tonight's leadership training, all the people want to, if you want to get involved in the Faith City Church, you have to learn how to help people. You got to learn how to deal with people. So we have skillful living for working with people tonight at 6:30. And everybody's going to get a bag of chips tonight. We're going to give somebody a little bit of lunch together because, you know, you got to eat together. Something about my culture as a First Nations man, we have to eat together. I think Italians do the same thing. That's what Giuseppe tells me. And there's something about in church eating together that makes you gel with people. It makes you, what is that called? I don't know what it is. There's something there, you know, so no matter what you feed them, they just appreciate it. Amen. I want to tell you I love you, appreciate you. I mean, you know, I just feel drunk with the love of God right now. I do. You know, when you get filled with the Spirit of God, you just love everybody. I remember my dad, you know, he'd go be on a sawhorse there. He's been there for 2 hours already, and he started feeling good. His smile getting bigger and bigger. My mom said, "You've been drinking again." He said, "No, I haven't been. Look at that pussycat look on your face. I know you've been drinking." Amen? So we want to have a smile on our face. When working with people, when people walk through this door and say, "Hi, how are you?" Don't be afraid of people. You say, "Hey, how you doing? I'm glad you're here at Faith City Church. I'm Roma Fisher. I work in the children's department. You know, we have the best children's workers available anywhere in Canada, right here at Faith City Church. Bring your children with you. They're going to learn things about God. And you're going to grow in the grace of the Lord. In fact, we got the best elders group in the city, man, they're just a bunch of great people. Amen? Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands and begin to thank God? Father, we want to thank you today in the name of Jesus for the wisdom of God. We praise you. We thank you as we ask you for wisdom earlier. Now we're thanking you that we have it. We believe that we have the ability to deal with every situation in a wise way. Thank you, my Lord. We love you. We appreciate you. We appreciate the glorious presence of the Holy Spirit. We're asking you to fill every person with the Holy Ghost that desires to be filled this morning. We're asking you, everybody here, in the name of Jesus, to be filled with the Holy Ghost and with the wisdom of God to deal with every situation in the name of Jesus. Father, we're asking those people that have been away from God, they've been walking on their own, we just pray that they'll make a decision today. They say, God, I'm sorry, I'm going to walk with you from now on. Those that are watching along, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, today is the best day to do it. And you say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Come into my life, save me. And now I am your child. I'm walking in your ways. I'm going to do what you said to do. In Jesus' name, find a good Bible-believing church, and you will never be dissatisfied. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen. Go ahead and greet one another as you leave. In the name of Jesus, see you this evening.